The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Kirk Adams, Chief Executive Officer of Green Rock Mining. GROC is the ticker there. Kirk, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks very much, Justin. It's a delight to be here.
Yeah, and you recently sort of IPO'd, of course, spinning out from Alba there. So and I've had George on many a time and talking about you. But before we get into what's happening and what you've been doing behind the scenes, first of all, for people not familiar with Green Rock, because like I said, newly listed, can you summarise what you're all about, please, Kirk?
Well, Green Rock is a Greenland-focused company. We only have assets in Greenland. They've been spun out of the Alba Group, and we have four projects in Greenland itself, two of which I call the flagship projects. These are projects that are set to move towards feasibility and production in the next two or three years, and we're driving up that development curve. So, one of them is the Ilmenite project, the Tooley Black Sands project, which we already have a maiden resource on, and we've done a considerable amount of drilling this year, which we're awaiting the results. And the other one is the Amitsoq graphite project, the initial drilling was done this year, and we'll be drilling more next year, and we're putting in all of the environmental impact assessments and social impact assessments right now. So it's an exciting development.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's focus on those two there, because you did just on a site visit to the Amitsoq project. Can you take us through what you've been doing there and the thoughts there? Okay.
Well, yes. I mean, the launch on the stock market, the IPO, myself and another director jumped on an aeroplane and went directly to Greenland to look at Amitsoq. And I have to say, I was really deeply impressed by what I saw there. Amitsoq was an operating mine in the 1920s, so 100 years ago. And there are two underground drives where you can see, the material, you can see, what's going on, you can see the development that's happened. So it has been operating, and they extracted about 5,000 tons of ore there in the past. What was really impressive, though, I think, was the outcrops of graphite on surface that you can see expressed over a kilometre on the Amitsoq Island and expressed over a longer distance on the Kallak Peninsula of the mainland, all in our licence area. And, when you look at that and you look at the high grades, metallurgical content that we've attained from those projects by taking channel samples, gives you a huge amount of confidence, because the grades there, in fact, the highest grade graphite in the world, and the quality of the graphite is a high spherical graphite material that is exactly what you need for EVs. And I really want to talk a little bit about that as well, because everybody thinks lithium when you talk about electric vehicles, but Elon Musk said the lithium-ion battery has been misnamed.
Yeah,
he said, the reason he said that was because there's 10 times more graphite in a lithium-ion battery than there is lithium. What he said is it should actually be called a nickel graphite battery, because those are the predominant minerals in the battery itself. And then if you really think about that and you look at the demand that's projected for electric vehicles, what you can see is that the demand for graphite is going to grow by 25 times in the next 20 years. And that's predicted by the Roskills of this world, the Adamis and those people who specifically work out what the demand's going to be and project it and forecast it. So we're very confident we're in a hot market for a particular mineral with graphite, and the graphite market is going to grow substantially. And the quality of our product, really fits the demand in that market. So that I think is something that's really interesting and exciting, and a good place to be. And the if you think about the demand for a mineral growing by a factor of 25, you can see, you know, why there's a strong need in the world for, you know, for the development of graphite mines. And
I
think we're well positioned for that.
And just on that, so what's next there? What have you done? What do you know about it? And what's next?
Well, you know, it's we did a drilling program this summer over, you know, over the summer period in Greenland. And what we actually have initially, you know, prior to that, we had a lot of channel sampling across an outcrop on surface. In fact, two ore bodies that outcrop on surface. And so we know what the grades are in two dimensions. This summer's program was all about putting in the third dimension. And so we drilled from the ridge of the island itself into that ore body, and we're anticipating getting those results in the next two months or so. And from those results, we should be able to establish a maiden resource of some nature. Now, one of my reasons for going, you know, with the geology director to Amitsoq was really to look at where the next drill pads are going. And we've spent a lot of time saying, okay, so in order to extend this deposit to give us more confidence in the resource itself, you know, we should put additional drill pads here. In the locations that we've selected, and now we're in a position, I think, to effectively drive towards a resource of the size that would allow us to say, yes, we can build a plant here, and we've got a feasibility study that will allow us to move the project forward to production. And I really want to sort of emphasize the fact that Greenrock team are a team of people. The Greenrock directors are a team of people who have the skills and capabilities specifically for mine building. I mean, this is my background. I've been building mines and taking them into production all around the world, and so I'm hoping that's the reason that they have asked me, and I've been delighted to join the board as the CEO, and I will be driving obviously towards my skill set, which is building a new mine in this particular area. So it's very interesting, it's very exciting.
Absolutely. And let's talk about the ilmenite project. You said Tuli Black Sands there, you know, why do you like that, and what's happening there?
Well, I would say we're further advanced in the Tuli Black Sands project. We already have a maiden resource there of 19 million tonnes, grading 8.9% contained ilmenite. And it's, you know, from that perspective, you know, it's a good launch pad for us. What I always like to say with Tuli Black Sands is that deposit is contiguous with the Blue Jay deposit, which is right next door. It's basically a beach deposit. It's split by a fjord. They have one side of the beach and we have the other. And the provenance of the material is the same. It's the Dundas intrusive. And so from that perspective, you know, one would anticipate that we, you know, we're a lookalike project to them. And if you look at the history, at the, you know, their initial maiden resource was 23 million tonnes, 8.8% ilmenite. You can see that they're much of a muchness. Mm-hmm. So this year, we've drilled out the southern area of that project. So further drilling to define the basement of the Black Sands. And we're anticipating, you know, that will lead to a larger resource and more confidence in that resource. We can never be absolutely certain, but I'd be very, very confident that's going to be the outcome. And so we're anticipating, as I say, an increase in the JORC resource that should be large enough to allow us to put a feasibility project on it with respect to the idea of mining those black sands and starting an operation. And you know, these sands are right on the surface. You know, they're on raised beaches, so you know, they're very easy to mine. We'll be mining them. We'll be extracting the ilmenite in a simple process using spirals, and we'll be putting the waste material back behind us. So in fact, the environmental impact is very small indeed. The footprint is small, and we basically clean up as we go.
Yeah, very interesting. And while you're here, Kirk, first time we've spoken, and you mentioned your background there. Give us a bit about that. Tell us, where you've been to make it to where you are today, if you could.
Oh, how long have you got? I'm a mining engineer from Camborne School of Mines down in Cornwall. I graduated there in 1985. Prior to that, I actually worked in the gold mines of South Africa for 18 months as a learner official in the deep gold mines of South Africa. I've worked in the diamond mines in South Africa. Recently, a group that I was working for, a private group, bought antimony gold project in the Limpopo, which we bought out of liquidation and then restarted, took it back into production very successfully. And I've worked in Kosovo, I've worked in Macedonia building plants, I've worked in the far east of Russia rebuilding silver mines restarting silver mines. I've worked in Australia in the deep mines there, Mount Isa mine, lead, zinc, silver, and copper. And so I've worked all over the world developing mines.
So you're the right man for the job here. Your CV is spot on here.
Well, I like to think so. And I like to think that, one of the reasons that George Franceschisi's sort of identified me and said, will you come and join us, is because, he wanted to take the projects in Greenland that Alba had. He wanted to take them, to the next step into production. And I always say to, investors and people who are interested in this sort of thing in mining, I always say, well, look at the management team. And the management team will tell you the focus of the company. And I would like to think that our management team in Greenrock is very focused on taking us from, an exploration company into a mine development company, a company that's going to take these projects and turn them into operating mines. And I think we do have the skill sets, and we're very focused on doing that. And I think that's exciting because, from an investor perspective, you get the production premium. There's a huge premium that is achieved in a mining company when you move from, knowing the size of the resource and the quality of the resource, when you take that resource and start actually producing minerals from it, and investors get that production premium.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvellous stuff. Well, it's good to chat to you, Kirk, and got to point out, on the front page of Vox Markets, there are 10 companies that are most followed. They get on that list, of course, by people hitting that follow button. So if you could, to try and get on that list, give us 3 quick reasons right now why someone should hit that follow button on Greenrock Mining and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, I think the first thing is in from the IPO, we've raised enough cash to take us, through to feasibility. So we'll be able to do the drilling programs that will give us, I believe, will give us the resource required, for a mining operation. I think we've got the money to do the environmental impact and social impact assessments and mitigation plans. And I think we've got the money to do feasibility type studies, that's scoping studies, pre-feasibilities and so on and so forth, which will allow us to show, how to build these mines and go out and raise the money in order to actually build the mines to production. So I think that's the first one. Mm-hmm. The second one, I think, is that, our current market cap is roughly £10 million. If you look at our peers in the same space, it appears like Nexsource or Tirupati or Tauga, minerals, you can see that their market caps are typically, 10, 15, 20, 20 times what ours are at the current state. And, and that's quite reasonable because they're, up at feasibility or starting to move into production. But I think that we will be there in the next 2 or 3 years. We'll be at the same place that those companies are. And because we are, 10 times less in terms of market cap, I think there's a huge potential for Greenrock value to grow considerably. And, that's, I think, quite an important point to think, look at the look at the peers and look at the potential value that we're going to create, you know, through the through our current activities. And the third thing I just want to say is that we're in hot markets. You know, graphite is a market that's going to grow by 25 times in the next 20 years or so. It's all driven by electric vehicles. It's extremely hot. It's, you know, there's going to be massive demand, you know, and you know, one can only surmise that the price of graphite will grow. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that ilmenite's been growing at 4.3% a year recently. It's projected to grow by 4.3% in the next 5 to 10 years, and it's used for for creating titanium dioxide for paints and making very things very white and and opaque and so on and so forth. So it's got a particular use in as an industrial mineral, and the price of it's grown from $180 a ton to $375 a ton in the last 2 years. So you can see that demand growing. You can see the price, growing as well. And it's an extremely interesting market to be involved with and involved in. And as I say, we have an excellent high-grade deposit there. So those are the three reasons that I strongly suggest this. Greenrock is a great company to follow.
Excellent stuff. Kirk, it's good to chat to you. And hopefully we catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for your time, Justin. I really appreciate it.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.